I'm Mike Freezer, and this is WYSO Today for Wednesday, January 28th. There are several bills that deal with immigration awaiting lawmakers when they return to work in the next few weeks. All are Republican-sponsored and haven't moved much. But that could change as campaigns for governor, U.S. Senate, Congress, and much of the state legislature heats up. State House correspondent Karen Kessler reports.
One bill would require state and local officials to cooperate with federal authorities on immigration law enforcement. Another would order hospitals and schools to collect and report on the citizenship status of patients and students. Democratic Representative Munira Abdullahi, the first Somali American in the Ohio legislature, says she's concerned.
Right now, those bills are effectively paused. I'm really hoping that this increased pressure, increased temperature doesn't bring that energy back to the state house where they're moving those bills.
Another bill would add a person's immigration status to the factors a court must consider at a sentencing or arraignment. Most have had only one hearing, but immigration is expected to be a big issue in this year's elections. Karen Kessler at the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau.
Troy's city council has put a pause on the approval of new fuel or service stations through May 30th. This comes as the city continues to prepare its Unified Development Code, which the city's development director, Tim Davis, says will support its comprehensive plan. The moratorium will allow city staff and officials to review zoning code regulations and research the effects of new stations on the environment, traffic management, and noise or lighting levels. Davis says Troy currently has over 20 gas stations, which is high for a town of its size. He believes that this moratorium will help the city review its needs and create a new code that reflects the city's long-term comprehensive plan. Other local cities like Centerville and Beaver Creek also have put stricter regulations or moratoriums on new gas stations. A bipartisan bill would require the state to provide security for the lieutenant governor and for the endorsed candidates and nominees for governor if they ask for it. State House correspondent Karen Kessler reports that the bill that was proposed in October after the killing of conservative commentator Charlie Kirk hasn't had a first hearing yet, but already has backing from Governor Mike DeWine.
The bill sets aside $10 million for security for the lieutenant governor, for the elected gubernatorial team, and, quote, certain eligible candidates at the governor's direction and by request, end quote. DeWine says he hasn't read the bill, but he supports it.
The concerns, I think, about security in regard to public officials should be heightened. That's just the world we live in today.
Discussion about the bill bubbled up after one of Republican candidate for Governor Vivek Ramaswamy's former bodyguards was arrested on federal drug trafficking charges and two others weren't registered with the state. Both he and Democratic candidate, former Department of Health Director Dr. Amy Acton, have received death threats over the years. Karen Kessler at the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau.
The Kettering-based Bridget's Path now accepts Medicaid reimbursement to treat babies for neonatal abstinence syndrome. Is the only organization of its kind to receive Medicaid. This comes after more than 11 years of advocacy by the organization's founder and president, Jill Kingston. WYSO Shea Frank has more on how this change will allow the Newborn Recovery Center to help more families.
Bridget's Path was established by Jill Kingston in 2014, taking on its first patient at the end of 2017. Since then, the organization has cared for over 300 babies affected by drug use during pregnancy. And that medical care was previously paid for by donations or federal, state, and private grants. But many of those sources shifted to reimbursable grants. Kingston says that change led them to close one of their nurseries in 2025.
That was a huge change. Before, we had the money up front and then could use the money to operate. And now we have to raise the money, then we can operate, and then the reimbursement comes after that.
Now, the nonprofit can receive close to 30% in reimbursement for care with Medicaid. Kingston says that Medicaid money is vital, but the organization still needs support from donations and other funding sources to continue its services. For WYSO News, I'm Shea Frank.
The cold continues, but at least there's no snow in the forecast for the foreseeable future. We'll have temperatures peaking in the mid-teens at today. Overnight lows back down around or below zero for the rest of this week. It's going to be a cold one. And that's WISO Today for Wednesday, January 28th. I'm Mike Fraser.